Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
My sister, on your professional basis, I baptize you in the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. There is no God who can choose me. Raise in his heart.
For 2 years now, this is my second year. It's a lot of fun, a lot of cracking up. There's probably like the only times that we don't laugh is probably just the services. I swear, the girls probably gave Kaylin and Emma the roughest time with the bedtime schedule, because you would hear me, Sydney, Shy, Bella's group, everybody else's group in there. 12 o'clock at night. And Kaylin's like, okay, the lights are going off. And then you turn the lights off. Shut up.
I did not say shut up. Okay. I said be quiet.
Be quiet, sorry. Another thing about the beds was you have two bunk beds put together. There's a little crack between them. Me and Sydney were on the top. Shine and Abby were on the bottom. Stick our hands down in there. Little monster coming to get you. It's great. Woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning to someone like jump scare me, scream. Probably woke up half the room, but hey. But with all the joking and all the laughter, there comes serious moments. And on the trip, I feel like my eyes were like really opened, and I was able to see like there's just a couple words that we learned, some of them like perseverance, loyalty, courage, character. To lots of people, those words are just words, but when you sit down and listen to these guys preach about what they truly mean, it can change your life. I'm going to start with this little saying that I heard. I think it was Scotty that said this. He asked, "What would happen if your tomorrow doesn't come?" He said, "Will you hear, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant,' or will you hear, 'Depart from me, for I never knew you,' and have to face eternal separation?" And for me, that honestly, it can be scary. It made me want to know how to serve God and how to be better for him, because I know I'm saved, but for the people who aren't, I think the most important thing about going on these trips for the kids is to learn how to tell other people about Jesus, because we really don't know how many lives we can change with what we learn on those trips. And it just really alarmed and frightened me that people would have to go through what they go through if they don't know Christ. And to have Christ in your heart, you just have to lose yourself and find him first. And whenever that was said to me, I didn't really understand what it meant. So I thought about it for a while, and I just realized that in order to let God in, you have to drop your ego, your pride, your selfishness, and you need to become soft to feel and return God's love. We can't harden our hearts or let our fear come between our relationship with him. And in order to maintain our relationship with him and to become happier and better for everyone around you and God, you need to have courage. You need to have courage to mature, communicate, and grow in any relationship. It also takes a strong character, because who you are when no one is looking is the true you. Every decision you make, your attitude, the amount of perseverance you have, that is the true you, and that is what God looks at and loves you for, even if sometimes it feels like maybe no one else does. Another thing that was discussed was loyalty, and it hit me really, really hard whenever Ryan said that the perfect man was tried as a criminal, beaten, and put on the cross when he could have called angels to come and save him. Ryan kind of described what Jesus' thought process was as he was on the cross, and that consisted of exclaiming that Jesus maybe thought, "Someone has to pay for my sins, so beat me again. Someone has to pay for my mom's sins, my sister's sins. Everybody up here has sinned and has done so many horrible things, but God was willing to send his own perfect son to be beaten on the cross for us. Jesus said, 'Beat me again.'" And that is loyalty. And those words just really changed my life. Verse 5:24 from John says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. For the condemnation is the expression of very strong disapproval or eternal separation." In other words, God is saying, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears what I say and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life, that the person will not be judged guilty, but has already left death and entered life." And watching so many people get saved on the youth trip was just really encouraging for me, and it made me feel a lot better to know that maybe I could go out there and change someone else's life too. And all these words that I was taught about, they changed my life. I might be saved, but I know that I've kind of strayed away from God, and that youth trip just really brought me closer, and it makes me want to be with God. So thank you guys for whoever did the lessons. Thank you for that, and thank you for changing my life.
Okay, for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Sydney, and this is also my second year going on the youth trip. I became friends with a lot of new people, and I really got to know them. We played volleyball, spikeball, basketball, and a lot more. But really what I love most about this trip is making my relationship with God better. I got saved when I was 8 at Fields of Faith. It was awesome. But I've been a lukewarm Christian this past year. I knew if I went on this youth trip that I could get out of that. We had 8 Bible study sessions. There was one that really stuck out to me the most, and that was loyalty. I had realized I wasn't loyal, and I hadn't put God first. But this trip really helped me through it, and I know what I need to do to make my relationship with God better. And I want to thank everybody who contributed to make it work, especially the Henry family for getting it together, and Chris for getting us there down and back safely. And for everybody else who made donations or just went down to help, I especially want to thank the people that cooked us food 3 times a day for the whole trip. I truly had a blast this year.
Good morning. My name is Kaylee, and I just wanted to start out by saying thank you to everyone who gave their time, donated money, and even sent out prayers to make sure our youth was able to have a good trip. This trip was truly amazing and will be something that stays with me forever. Even though playing soccer in giant bubbles, my team winning in mini golf, and beating Scotty in a prank war were all amazing, my favorite part of the trip were the sessions we had every morning and every night. There was one session by Ernest I was especially grateful for because it addressed the things that us as teenagers face on a daily basis, and this was being uncompromising. The fear of being criticized or rejected for your faith can sometimes be overwhelming. The world we live in today makes it difficult to be a Christian, but we have to love those who oppose us because they are the ones who need it the most. We cannot let others make us compromise. There's a verse I wanted to read. It's 1 John 4:4-8. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we speak the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Thank you.
Thank you. you don't know, has a bleeding disorder, and he had a bleed in his right arm, and he wasn't going to tell anybody because he's having a fun time on the trip, and he's just going to try to make it home. But when we got finished putting, and I got behind him, and I could see his arm was swelling up, and I said, "Dude, what's up?" And he said, "It's hurting a little bit." And I said, "We probably just need to make it on home," and we did. And he's down there just getting another round of plasma, and that's what they do for him. So, but he wishes he could be here, I know. And he was nervous about coming up here talking, but looking forward to it. But appreciate all the prayers, everybody that's been lifting up for Parker. But hopefully he'll get to come home today.
Also, Charlie was supposed to speak for us, and he couldn't be here today. So we got one more speaker. We'll have to get her a chair. Or wait a minute. Can you read? Yeah, oh yeah.
Hold up. Hey guys, I'm Bella. This was my first youth trip. Also my first time being to the beach. And it was a total blast. I had so much fun. The messages were just great. I understood everything they said. It definitely showed me how much I needed to read my Bible more. I loved every single second of it. The messages were so clear in understanding that I could feel the Holy Spirit in the room when I saw people move their feet and get out of the room, and I felt a sense of calming when I felt that the Holy Spirit was in the room moving. And I loved every single day of it, and I can't wait to go back next year.
Yeah.
get to feeling that. When it's singing, I get to dance a little. And I said, I think the Holy Spirit's in here. And one of them said, the Holy Spirit ain't that wrong, Scotty. That ain't the Holy Spirit. That's just you, brother. I don't have to preach much. The preaching's done been done. But so every session, except mine, Brother Ryan closed mine for me. Before I get going, too, I want to address this. Christy, where's Christy at? Where's she at? Right there. That little cross you saw at the end of the video. So Tim and Christy have been on every youth trip with us that we've ever taken, okay? And this year, Brother Tim switched jobs, and it's this week is his budget week, and he cannot go. So they were not able to go with us. And Christy sent us over a letter, which I read to the kids, and she sent those crosses for each kid. So they may not have been physically on the trip with us, but they were certainly spiritually on the trip with us. We thank them so much. Thank you, Christy and Tim, for everything y'all do for us. So we would have a session, and it's my job to close the session out, okay? I love to close the service, too. So basically today, that's all I'm going to do, is I'm going to close out what they've preached up here today. To say the word amazing would be unfair to a trip like this, okay? When you hear kids get up and say what these kids just said, that's not what the world says, okay? When you hear kids get up and sing the way these kids sing, that's not what the world is all about. So today, for just another minute or two, I'm going to ask you, like I asked them, clear your mind out for just a minute, okay? I need you to not think about what's going on outside this church or the baptism we're about to have. I need you to open yourself up and listen to what God's got to say for just a minute, okay? We did go over all those characters. Stand up, Brady. Turn around. We went over perseverance, character, hope, loyalty, obedience, uncompromising faith, and courage. Sorry, I forgot every one of them. Thank you, Brady. I appreciate that. And we would have a session on one of those words. Then we would close it out. We'd have a time to come up if you wanted to, or if you felt like you needed to talk to somebody or get saved, then you go out on the porch. I'll be honest, the first few sessions, we all identified a young man that we thought was convicted, okay? And I tell you what, real quick, Taylor and Tinsley, come up here real quick. Come here. One of you sat there, one of you. And by the way, this happens to us too. Grab a hold of the side of that chair, hold on to it. Hold on tight. That's the position that young man took the first three sessions. That's the position me and you take in life. We know the preacher's preaching the right thing. We know the word's what it's supposed to be, but there ain't no way we're getting out of that seat. So we hang on. And he preaches a little harder. What do? We hang on a little more. We grip on under there a little more. We are not getting up out of that seat. Because if we get up out of that pew, if we're sitting toward the back and we get up and we have to walk all the way up front, somebody's going to think we're a sinner. You are. Yeah, I just thought I'd remind you all that. But you know what he did? He grabbed all that with everything that young man had in him, didn't he, Ernest? Ernest come up and he said, it's all over that boy. Chris come up and he said, it's all over that boy. Melanie's like, I'm sitting, men had her sitting behind that boy, and I'm telling you, it's all over him. He was not going to cut loose of that. On that third one, uncompromising, Ernest brought a great message. I closed it out. And finally, one finger at a time, one finger at a time, one finger at a time. The hands came off. He got up and he walked outside and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And then because he did that, there was a young man went to the beach. He was at the beach, and Josh come walking back up with him, and he couldn't handle it anymore, could he, Josh? Okay, he walked all the way back up from the beach and come up there and got saved. He said, I'm not saved. I got to get saved. okay? Then the next session, it just made it a little easier and a little easier, okay? So the big thing that we got to understand is we got to let go, okay? We hang on to that seat our whole lives, and so many things make us fear what people are going to think about. I'll be honest, not wanting to have a real relationship with God, because if we do have a real relationship with God, then we have to give up who we are. So if I come up here and I'm not saved and I get saved, or if I am saved and I come up here and I get right with God, then I can't go back out those doors and do what I want to. I have to do what He wants to. That's part of the reason. So to close us out today, we're going to close out with something Ernest talked about. It's actually a series he's going over right now in his class. Mark 10, chapters 46 through 52. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. And I'm going to ask you to stand real quick. We're going to read this real quick, and then we'll close up. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garments, letting go, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou should do unto thee?" The blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, I know I don't need to say anything else. You just sent me up here to close. You sent those kids to do the preaching today, God, and the singing. And we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for that church that gets on board with having such a great youth program and allowing us to do this. Lord, we thank you for your word. And for just a moment, God, for just a moment, if you could preach to us, give us the message you want to hear. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. So we see right here, we see Jesus come through. Now, David brought up a great point to me one time. And David, you correct me if I'm wrong. This was the last time Jesus would have passed through here, correct? He's coming through Jericho. This would have been the last time Jesus would have went through Jericho, because after that, he went on and he was crucified on the cross. So I want you to think about that for just a second. Last time Jesus was going to come through. Last time this blind man had a chance to get a hold of Jesus, okay? It was the last time, okay? And, man, he was going to do something about it, but that's scary, isn't it? That's scary to think it's the last time I get a chance to get a hold of Jesus. The first thing we have to do is we have to figure out the difference in these two people right here. Now, we know that's elementary, that Jesus is Jesus, but I want you to listen to this verse right here, John 8:23. "And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." So we got two characters here. We got Jesus, and we got the blind man. We need to figure out and make sure we understand who Jesus is. Jesus did walk on this earth and was a man, but he's Jesus. He's not from here. He's from above. We are from beneath. He is from above. He's from the Father. He and the Father are one. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. He's Jesus. He can heal the blind. He can take away and comfort you in any problem that you have. He's bigger than us. But you know what I think we do with Jesus? We make him ordinary. Make him ordinary sometimes. Wednesday night, Sunday night. If somebody's in the hospital, we'll pray for them. If somebody dies, we'll comfort them. Well, no, he's bigger than that. He's bigger than just Wednesday night. He's bigger than just Sunday night. He's bigger than just praying when somebody's sick. He's bigger than that. He's Jesus.
He went to the cross and died for you and me. He went there to take away our sins. Okay? And we need to make sure we put him where he belongs. He's Jesus. And then we come to this blind man. I want y'all to think about this blind man for just a minute. It says the blind man, is talking about Bartimaeus, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I imagine that blind Bartimaeus got up every day and he either went to that spot or a similar spot. Would you agree with that, David? Yeah, he either went to that. He had a routine, right? He got up. Somebody led him to his spot, okay? He sits there all day long, all right, begging. Somebody got him, tug him back, okay? Just sounding familiar to anybody? What do? Monday morning, we get up. We go to work. We complain about it. We go back home. We get up. We go to work. We're not much different than blind Bartimaeus. It's just some of us in here can see. Okay? All right? We're not much different than him. Going about his life every day, every day, along with his buddies, okay, along with those around him. Just living life, just trying to make it through, going to that same spot or a spot similar. But then he heard about that, then he heard Jesus was coming, okay? It said right here, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, sat by the wayside. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. We need to understand that when we hear that Jesus is coming, or we know we're coming to church and Jesus is going to show up, we need to get excited. We don't just need to go to the same spot and sit there every time. We walk in this church house every time. How many of you right now are sitting in the same spot you normally sit in every Sunday morning? How many of you? Raise your hand. I want to see a show of hands. Okay. I've told this before. When we first started coming here, we sat right there where Kelsey and Josh and them are. And somebody had sat there one week, and Kelsey came running back out, and she said, "Somebody's in our seats." I said, "It's not assigned seating." She said, "I know, but they're in our seats." But you know what we do? We get in this thing where we do the same thing over and over. We sit in the same spot. We go on Wednesday night. We go on Sunday. We come and help with Vacation Bible School. We come and help with Camp Cove. We do the same routine inside out all the time. And you know what? We get stagnant and we don't even realize it. And you know what? We miss. Can't get up here and preach some messages that flat lay your ears back, turn your heart inside out. Hardly any movement. Not that people have to move, but hardly any movement. Because you know why? We're in a routine. We need to wake up. We need to be like blind Bartimaeus. If we're going and we know Jesus is going to be there, we need to cry out, "Jesus, over here. Over here. I need you, Jesus. Come over here. Listen, I'm full of sin. I've got doubt. I've got worry. I got fear. I need to talk to you for a minute." But Lord, no, we ain't going to do that. Why? That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Okay? If Gabe stands up right now and starts shouting out for Jesus, Kaylee's going to grab him by the britches and set him down in his seat and say, "You're acting like a fool, Gabe. Quit that." Okay? All right? If Ryan gets up back there and David's up here preaching and he feels the Holy Spirit, he feels Jesus, and he starts crying out to Jesus and runs up here to this altar before David gets done, this whole place is going to go silent, okay? And everybody's going to be like, "Oh my gosh, what's he doing? Is he all right?" Really? We've been so encapsulated by the world that we think being excited for Jesus is the wrong thing. Right? Yeah. We think it's the wrong thing. This group around him, listen to what they said. They said, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy.'" So not only do we got to know who we're crying to, and we got to realize what our state is, we can't let the obstacles keep us from getting where we got to go to, okay? Uncompromising, loyal, okay? We got to have courage. We got to be willing to step up. When we know it's Jesus, and we know Jesus is calling us, we got to be willing to step out. We got to be willing to let go of that seat, and we got to be willing to cry out to Jesus. What about when we don't know what to do? What about when our life is a mess? You know? What about when we've gotten away from God? And you know, we're coming to church, but we're really just coming to satisfy the fact that we're coming. What about when we've got away from reading our Bibles and praying? And you know what? And God is just not, I mean, we're just not taking him everywhere we go anymore. And it's allowing us to make those decisions that we wouldn't normally make. And it's allowing us to compromise on our faith like we wouldn't normally compromise. Do you know I've known people that sat in a church house their whole life with that feeling inside of them? Because they were scared to death of what they were going to look like if they cried out to God. I know people that's probably gone to their grave with that. Listen, Jesus is here. He came walking through the day that they built this building. His words are on this stage. His word is in the cornerstones of this church house. His words in a living pastor. His words in a breathing, living congregation. He's here. When are we going to start crying out to him? When are we going to start acting like the youth act like and give up our crazy belief that we're ashamed or that we're scared or that somebody's not going to think the same? And when are we going to make that journey? When are we going to cry out to Jesus Christ? When are you going to let the devil quit telling you that it's not okay for you to cry out to Jesus Christ? And the scoffers say, no, don't do that. We don't live in those times anymore. We live in a time where we need Jesus more than we've ever needed him. We need to be crying out to him. We need to be shouting to the world who Jesus is. But you know what we do? We let those fears and those obstacles right here. Well, Scotty, we don't go on the youth trip with you. You don't have to go on the youth trip. We just like the beach. We can do with a few less steps, though. Okay. I found one more thing important here. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Why did he cast away his garment? In those days, the garments they wore, they were bulky. They were like a sheet, basically, weren't they, Dave? I mean, almost like a dress. Then they had other pieces that went around it. You want to know why he cast them away? He did not want to take any chance on. What if he had tripped and fell? And Jesus went on by. He didn't make it. Wow. He said, let me get everything out of the way. Let me get my pride out of the way. Let me get me out of the way. Even let me get my garments out of the way. Because there's no way I'm missing Jesus. There's no way. That is my one shot. I got one shot at this. I got one thing I can do. I can go to Jesus and I can get a hold of him. And I've heard that is the Son of David. That is the Son of Man. That is Jesus. He can heal me. He can allow me to see. We got one shot, folks. You got one way into heaven. Not two ways, not three ways. You got one way into heaven. And that is get a hold of Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, your Lord. You want to know why those kids stood up and spoke? They got to Jesus. They didn't stand up and speak on their own. They didn't sing on their own. They made it to Jesus. They went over there to the beach, and they got everything out of the way, and they let their sails go. They got a hold of Jesus. Caitlin, where are you at? So my question to you today, our question was, what are you made out of? So my question to you today, let's go ahead and stand. What are you made out of? When's the last time that you ran to Jesus? And more importantly, do you need to run to Jesus today? Do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? I ask this on every youth trip. I ask it on every session. And we're going to end our youth trip right now. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Right now, if you would bow your head, you're going to get the youth treatment. Bow your head. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're being honest, slip your hand up real quick. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, slip your hand up. Hey, be honest enough right now. The kids were honest enough. Be honest enough right now that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, slip it up there high. Nobody's going to come talk to you. Nobody's going to say a word to you. All right? We just want to know so we can be praying for you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else out there? All right, raise your hands up. As we play this song right here, if you need to come, you come today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you come. How long has it been since you come up here and cried out to Jesus? If you need to come and cry out to Jesus today, you come.